recall some of the freedoms that we enjoy and the cost with which they're purchased. I remember the sacrifice of many for others, some of the horror of man's inhumanity to man around the world. For Christians, I think that Remembrance Day is extremely poignant, and I'm frustrated with churches that don't stop and talk about this sometimes, or pastors that don't remind people, because it's a great time for us who know God to remember that God has worked in the past, that through difficult circumstances and times, God is still God and He's still in control, and that God is still at work in our future. And as we look forward at uncertainty and a world that's up and down, we know where we can place our trust and our hope. And so I want to just quickly share with you a few things from Scripture that help us on this Remembrance Day. The first thing, as I thought about today and what I wanted to say, I wanted to give you a warning about the human condition. George Santayana said this: those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. It's so true that memories fade, right? And over time, we tend to forget things. James talks about it where he says, it's like someone who looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. And that's just what happens to us. I think back, and good memories kind of get better with time. Bad memories kind of fade a little bit. But we need to take this warning about the human condition that over time, we can lose the impact of things. And those of you that are following our sermon series in Daniel, Daniel chapter 4 this week, it's a great story. But this king that has seen God show up in power, has witnessed miracles, right? Who has witnessed and proclaimed, this is who God is, has another dream, and through the dream is told what's going to happen. And the story kind of jumps ahead, and it's like 12 months later, he's looking out, and it's like he's forgotten what God said. I used to think, man, if I witnessed God work in this way, or if I witnessed this, or if I witnessed that, it would change me forever, and yet encounter and experience doesn't seem to stay with us without times of remembering and marking. In 1 Corinthians 10, Paul's talking about some of the things that were written down and some of the things that happened that God allowed, and it says, now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks he stands take heed, lest he falls. And so the human condition is one where we're prone to forget, where encounters and experiences can lose their effect if we're not careful in how we recall them, remember them, and hold on to them. So the Bible has some things to remind us about. First, the Word of God exhorts us to remember often. And it starts with who God is, what God has done, recall how He's worked in our past, because it has an effect. In 2 Peter, when we worked through this book, I was just stunned at how often he repeated things. And it seemed like it was the same theme, and I'm like, people are going to think we just have one sermon. And for the whole of 2 Peter, we got up and gave one sermon over and over and over again. And he says this in chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Now, this is the second letter that I'm writing to you, beloved. In both of them, I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder, that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. And there's this idea that these rich themes about God's love, about mankind's sinful condition, about God providing a way that your sin could be atoned for through Christ on the cross, of His call to be a part of the family, the body, of this new life He starts in you. These important things we need to be reminded often. And it seems that God just put into place all of these festivals and celebrations in the Old Testament, and He gave us communion in the New Testament. And He said, remembering is so important. In Deuteronomy 6, as they're going in, this is what he says: then take care lest you forget the Lord, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. And he said, you were slaves and you were called out and God miraculously delivered you and waters parted and food magically appeared and armies were fended off and all this happened as he brought you across and then you walked in and he gave you a land. And it says, it won't be, you need to take care, you need to be intentional about this, lest you forget. In Deuteronomy 4, 9 and 10, it says, only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children, how on the day that you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, the Lord said to me, gather the people to me, that I might let them hear my words, so that they may learn to fear me all the days that they live on the earth, so that they may teach their children so. And it's this idea of being super intentional. We're exhorted to over and over and over not only remember, but tell the story. I was talking to some friends at prayer retreat, and we were talking about all different early days of ministry, and we remember back and we recall people that had an influence on us. There was a DS that hired me, and my friend Scotty was good friends with him. And his name was Arnold Downey, and he used to do two or three things. One, he would tell you, you better get to work or you could get fired. Real motivator. Yeah. Then the second is he always told you to change your church sign. He never liked my sign. But Arnold Downey he was a force in my life as a pastor. And there were significant moments where he really shaped who I am and shaped my ministry. And talking with Scott reminded me about the impact Arnold had. And it reminded me that when I get home, I should write him a note because he's in his 80s and he'd probably love to hear that back then he really formed and shaped some things for me. And it's interesting how when we talk about it and when we tell the stories, they become a part of remembering and a part of doing the right thing. We're exhorted in Scripture to remember, to tell the stories, to talk about it. It says we're exhorted to remember. And to do that intentionally. And that there's something really important about that. We tell people they should know their God story and tell it often. How did you meet Jesus? What's he done in your life? Times when he showed up. You should tell it to your kids. You should talk about it with other people. It should be a part of the narrative. We're exhorted to recall and to remember. And then I want to talk about markers and monuments. In Joshua, as they go across and they cross a river, each tribe takes a stone out of the river and they pile it up. And it says, now that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, what do those stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them, the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. Something Scripture talks about lots is markers and monuments. When people leave here after they've been with us for a while, we give them a lantern to put in their home or to take. Sort of this physical thing to remind them of a season. And the Bible talks about putting things on your doorposts and bind them around your wrist and they'll be assigned to you in Deuteronomy. And when your children ask, you can talk about it. And I love that we have the poppy. I love that we have some markers that remind us and things that bring us back to the sacrifice people made and the separation of families and the evil in the world and the cost of our freedom. And they're symbols and they're reminders and they're markers. I want to encourage you to make markers and monuments in your home. To have little things that remind you of a specific place in time or an instant that God showed up or something that's a part of your God story. And when people ask, what's that about? You can tell the story of who God is and what he's done. and you're reminded and you recall. Something that happens when you do that, when you're intentional about remembering, when you see these markers and monuments, when it becomes part of your story, is you experience a growth in gratitude. Now, the Bible has a lot to say about gratitude, and I'm not going to take time to go through it all this morning, but I picked two verses that mean something to me. In 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18, it says, "Rejoice always." And I always stop there. Kind of hard, right? Always? Like, how do you do that? It says, "Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." I think one of the ways that you do that is to have heard other people's stories that have been through difficult seasons and difficult times. They've been through loss. They've been through the loss of jobs. They've been through disaster. They've been through relational problems. And you can just rejoice that God is ultimately in control, and that even though you are in the worst situation ever or you're going through the hardest thing ever, you can say, "I rejoice that I know Jesus, and I rejoice that God is in control, and I'm going to give him what I'm going through." And then it says, "in all circumstances, that you can find something to be thankful for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." The other one is Colossians 2, 6, and 7. "Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." I think when we recall the work of God in our life, and we tell the stories, and we choose the markers and monuments, when we come to communion, when we come to Easter, when we come to Christmas, we remember that God is ultimately in charge, that this world is fleeting. As we walk in Christ, even though our circumstances, we sometimes see it and sometimes don't, as we're established in faith, knowing that he's coming back for his church and his children, we can abound in thanksgiving that we have a God who cares, who's won the war, and is returning for us. Our gratitude grows. Fifthly, I think we're challenged then to renew our perspective. Lamentations 3, 20 to 26 says this, "My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." As I come to Remembrance Day, and I was thinking about it this week, and how many of you lost your poppy about 5-6 times this week? A seatbelt in the car, or the coat pulls it off, I don't know. But I was thinking about my perspective on our freedom and just what we enjoy in our country. And I've got friends that serve in different places, and one of our international workers that's in China was at prayer retreat, and I visited with her for a few minutes. And I said, "Melody, how are you doing?" And she just commented on how good it was to be home. I remember when Kelly came home from Venezuela, and she just talked about almost feeling not safe because there was no armed guard at the grocery store. And what other countries face and what they have. And it renewed my perspective on some things. And where my gratitude could go down and my frustration could go up, and I could get a little bit grumpy about a whole bunch of stuff, when I think about what I do enjoy, my perspective is renewed. In Lamentations, he talks about the difficulty of life, and it's called the Lamentations of Jeremiah. If you don't know his story, it's amazing. Have a look. You've got a Bible, you can look it up. But when he gets to this, he says, "My soul continually remembers it, and it's bowed down within me." It talks about the difficulty and himself. It says, "But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope." When we call to mind who God is and what he has done, and what his character is, and how he loves us, and what he's done for us, it changes completely how we look at our current situation and circumstances. And then finally, there's a call in Scripture to respond in action. In James 1, 23 to 25, it says, if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away, at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Information that's not put to work doesn't result in wisdom, right? It's just information. And acting is important. This morning, we wanted to change our service. We wanted to go and participate with our community. We want to be a people who remembers and who acts. So let's ask the big question. So what? This morning, I want you to know that Scripture is very, very clear that we're prone to forget. And I want you to be aware. Here's the deal. We seem to think that we'll never forget this experience, or we'll never forget this encounter, or we'll never forget this moment, and yet they fade and we do. And Scripture just says, hey, that is the human condition. And so there's a call to remember often, to recall God's work, to recall His word. And there's just this pattern set up in Scripture to set time aside, to remember the Sabbath, to keep it holy, to have these special moments, these times of remembering who God is, remembering His work on our behalf, remembering what He's done. I think what we're doing as a society is part of a biblical pattern, a Remembrance Day. And Scripture just over and over and over calls you to that. I think some ways that we make that work is to choose markers and monuments in our church. We have lanterns signed by our international workers to remind us to pray for them. We have some things around the building across to remember. And in your home, I want you to choose some markers and monuments that help you remember. Use the story as you talk about it and tell it, as you tell people what these things mean, to grow in gratitude, to remember that God has acted in your life and in your circumstance and on your behalf, and to be grateful and express gratitude regardless of how you see your situation, and then to renew your perspective on today, that God is active, that He's in control, that He raises up nations. You know, we're in the middle of the story of Daniel, and we see those guys in exile, taken away from their country and their parents in a very difficult circumstance. And so far, every week, it seems like they're going to get killed, which can't be that fun. But we see them constantly coming back to the perspective that God has placed us here and that He's in control. And then because of that, respond, act, be faithful disciples who practice the things that they learn. This morning, I just want to pray for you. I hope that I have given you sort of a biblical call to be a people who practice remembering. I think it's there. I'm going to join you and the rest of the community at our service down at the Energy Center, and I'm just going to pray for you. We're going to sing a couple songs. I'm going to dismiss you, so that you can get there and get parked and participate with you.